This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first show this week is from the Listener's Playhouse, an episode titled Baby from November 2nd, 1940. That's followed by the Damon Runyon Theater and Social Error, their story from May 29th, 1949.
Once again, the Listener's Playhouse. This evening we offer for your enjoyment a play titled Baby, written by a young playwright, Arthur Lawrence. Baby is the story of Irene, a girl who wanted to be on top of the world so she could look down. Arthur Lawrence tells this story nicely, and we know you'll welcome him to the Listener's Playhouse. And with the strains of the song that began Irene's career, we bring you our play, Baby.
I've been going mad all week trying to get some sleep, tossing and turning and walking the floor. It's been driving me crazy. Tonight I was so worn out I thought I could drop off. What did you turn on the radio for?
The radio wasn't on.
All right. The Victrola, then.
I didn't touch that either.
I could have sworn I heard a piano.
There isn't a piano in the house.
I know that, you fool. But I was sure I heard one. Sounded like you playing. Banging away at that same stupid tune you always played. Didn't you ever write another one?
You know I didn't, Irene.
Do I now? Tell me, Mr. Scanlon, do you think I had a clipping service keep me posted on your career? If you ever had one.
You know what happened to my career, Irene, and you know why.
Oh, blame it on me. Put the blame on Irene. She's bad. She's rotten. Grow up, Eddie. You could never have gotten any place unless you were dragged.
Maybe.
No maybes about it. Don't think you're due for a change of luck now. I can't do anything for you.
I'm not asking anything.
Then what are you doing here? How did you know where I lived? How did you get in? Well, don't just stand there like a ghost. Say something. You can hear me, can't you? Say something.
What shall I say?
Oh, wipe that smug look off your face and get out. I told you years ago I didn't want you around. I didn't need you then, and I don't need you now.
Maybe, but you've changed a lot since then.
Of course I have. I grew up. I'm a person. I'm somebody.
Yeah, you're somebody, all right. You're a big star.
Well, you haven't changed, big shot. You look exactly the way you did 5 years ago. And you're still playing the same song. Well, you're still wearing the same faded blue tie, the same frayed shirt, the same sloppy suit. Why didn't you throw it in the gutter where it belongs?
Yeah, I guess the suit could stand a pressing.
It needed one the last time I saw you.
Yeah, and the first time, only you didn't notice things like that then.
Didn't I?
Not 5 years ago, no. You were a sweet kid then.
Hold on, Eddie. Don't start any of that when you and I were young, Huey. I don't go for it. Don't start bringing up the day we met, and the day you said this, and the day I said that. It doesn't impress me. I hate it. I want to forget it. And I want to forget you. Will you stop that?
I was playing this that day 5 years ago.
Stop it! I told you I want to forget all that.
I was sitting at that old upright piano, remember, playing it just like this when you walked into my office.
Office? That 2x4 dump of a piano and 2 cheap chromium chairs? But you had your name on the door in big letters, so I guess that made it an office. Eddie Scanlon, orchestra and vocal arrangements. I was even dumb enough to be impressed.
Thank you. It's open. Oh, hello.
Hello.
We just can't stand here, can we? I mean, won't you sit down?
I'd like to see Mr. Scanlon, please.
I'm glad you would.
Is he in?
I'm in.
Oh.
Well, will you sit down now?
Oh, thanks. My name's Irene Barrett. I don't know whether Stewie spoke to you.
Stewie Miller?
Yeah, I met him this summer.
You know, I used to think Stewie was a swell egg, but I don't know now. I saw him the other night, and, you know, he never mentioned you.
Well, he didn't exactly promise he'd speak to you. He just told me to get in touch with you.
What about?
Vocal arrangements.
Oh, yeah, I get it. You're a singer, huh?
Uh-huh.
Are you good?
I will be.
I'll bet you will, too. Would you sing something for me now?
Right now?
Sure. You're not afraid of me, are you? This isn't any audition.
Oh, I know, but... Well, Stewie told me you do wonderful vocal arrangements, and that's what I need more than anything, but...
Money?
Yes.
Forget it.
Oh, I couldn't.
Well, I'll charge you. Don't worry about that, but don't worry about the price or about paying for it either. Take your time and just concentrate on singing.
Oh, that's awfully nice of you. You don't know. I mean, well, you don't find many nice people in this business.
Yeah, but once in a while you do. Now, look, I don't want to rush you, but we better get started. We'll be thrown out of here in a few minutes.
Isn't this your office?
Sure, but I rent it out for auditions. That pays the difference between the 50-cent blue plate and the 65-cent special. Now, what do you want to sing?
Oh,
just give me a few bars, ballad, rhythm, torch. I don't care. I just want to get an idea of your voice, but sing it straight. I don't want any corny arrangements.
Well, I'm afraid everything I know is from arrangements some broken-down trumpet player made for me in the country. I guess I might fall into them without wanting to.
Well, can you read music?
Yeah.
I knew you were wonderful. Now, look, did you hear any of that tune I was playing when you came in?
The whole thing.
Yeah.
I stood outside for a few minutes before I finally got up enough courage to knock.
Well, I'm glad you didn't go away.
So am I.
Gosh, I feel wonderful. Now, here's the lead sheet on that tune.
Well, isn't it published? It's a swell number.
You like it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Then it's yours.
Mine.
I wrote it. You like it, so I'm giving it to you. Now, come on, try it in O, say, G.
Baby.
Now, wait a minute, that's too high. No, let's see. Try it in C.
Baby, baby, won't you grow up someday, maybe? I'll be grown up. Baby, baby, I get sick of hearing baby.
That's okay, okay. I haven't finished the lyric yet.
Oh. Well?
Yeah, you've got a nice quality.
Then I can sing?
You can sing, yes, but so can 9 out of every 10 girls right down there on Broadway. Well, they're a dime a dozen. Maybe 1 in 100 has a real voice, but that isn't what makes them. It's style, some little thing, some special quality that makes them different. Maybe it's a sore throat that makes a husky torch singer, I don't know. Maybe it's cute phrasing that makes a jitterbug. It can be anything. It doesn't matter so much whether you've got a voice as what you can do with it.
I know I can sell a song.
Yeah, but can you use your hands, your arms, your face, or do you just sing with your mouth?
I can act.
Oh, heading for musical comedy, eh?
Well, in the movies, like everyone else.
Well, that's nothing to be ashamed of, baby. It's a darn good living.
But do you think I have a chance? Honestly, no.
Well, you've got a figure and you've got a wonderful face. Now, that's half the fight. And I think you've got a pretty fair voice, more than enough to build a style on. But I want to do more than that. I want to build up a whole personality, not just a cutie singer. They die. Something different, something that people will remember.
Oh, I know what I want to say, but...
Forget it, baby. I want to do this for you.
I'm glad. Not because...
I know. Gee, you know, I never felt so wonderful. Now, look.
Yeah?
Skip it till later. I guess we'd better get to work. We'll start on this.
Your song?
No, yours now. And we're going to make the whole country know that. Why, in less time it... Oh, nuts. Excuse me. Hello? Yeah. Sure, I want to take it, but... Yeah, I know what it means, but I... Yes, but... Yeah, I know, Milt. Yeah, I'll be there. Okay, guy. I'm leaving for Chicago in 1 hour. Flying.
Oh.
That is a friend of mine. Agent.
A job?
Yeah.
Oh, that's swell, Eddie. It's a break, huh?
Piano and arrangements for Del Dawson.
Oh, he's got a good band, Eddie. It's going to go places.
Yeah, I know.
How long?
30 weeks, maybe more. Split weeks around the country.
Do you think you'll hit New York?
In the spring, maybe, Irene.
Oh, Eddie. Eddie, Eddie, you will write me, won't you?
Sure, I'll send you arrangements all the time and tell you just what to do with them.
No, don't send me arrangements. Just write.
Oh, baby.
Don't call me that.
Why, Irene?
Because it makes me want to cry.
Irene, honey, baby, gee, I've waited so long for a break like this, but why the devil did it have to come now?
You better go home and pack, Eddie.
Oh, the devil with packing. I've only got 2 suits anyway. I'll sit down here. There's no time and there's so much that I want to tell you.
I know, Eddie.
Do you, baby? Do you know that when you walked into this room, I almost choked on my heart?
Hi, Eddie.
You can have the room in a minute, Charlie.
Okay, kid, but make it fast. We got Schneider himself coming up for the audition.
That's swell.
Keep your fingers crossed, kid.
Irene.
Yes, Eddie?
I just can't stop looking at you.
Oh, Eddie, please. Please don't say any more. It makes me...
Yeah, I know, baby.
You're flying there, aren't you?
Yeah, 4 o'clock, Newark Airport.
I was in a plane once.
Yeah?
It was an old crate. The door fell off while we were in midair.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Oh, Eddie, why does it have to be this way? It's only once in a million moons that you meet someone and...
Hey, Eddie, what do you say?
Okay, Charlie, in a minute.
Listen, Schneider's here and he doesn't like the way...
Just 2 seconds, Charlie.
Well, make it snappy.
Yeah, he's auditioning songs for Snyder's new review.
Are they any good?
So-so. But you won't forget all about me, will you?
Oh, Eddie, I couldn't.
As soon as I get there... Oh, it's no use, baby. I can't go.
Eddie!
I can't leave you. I don't care what it means.
Listen, Eddie.
Charlie.
I know, Eddie, but it's Schneider.
Okay, bring him in.
Eddie, you've got to go.
No, I'm staying. Something else will turn up, and if it doesn't, I don't care. Because you and this... Irene, there just isn't any point in going anywhere without you.
Mr. Schneider, we'll run through these numbers and give you an idea of what we can do.
Oh, Eddie, I want you to stay. Believe me, I do. I want it so much I get cold when I think of you away, but Eddie, you're nothing without a career.
Hey, let me worry about that.
It's your break, and you've got to take it. You've got to have things and be somebody in this world. You've got to stand above the crowd.
With you, I'll be walking on air.
What you are and who you are, that's what counts. It does, Eddie. And I don't want to stand in your way.
No, I'm going your way.
Eddie, will you give us a break?
Maybe it's so sweet of you to think of me, but you're a kid and you've got crazy ideas.
They're not crazy.
Maybe I'm staying.
Eddie, Mr. Schneider can't concentrate.
I'm staying and writing arrangements for you. You'll go enough places for both of us.
Oh, Eddie, you're too nice. You shouldn't.
It's settled.
Okay, settled.
Now, come on, let's celebrate me turning down a job. So long, Charlie.
Goodbye, Eddie.
And Mr. Schneider, you'll have to excuse us, but we're in love. Snyder with his mouth open and walked down Fifth Avenue for 3 hours.
And isn't that a nice little story for the kiddies?
Up to there, it's all right.
It's all right if they want to wind up saps like you. Turning down the best break you ever had. The only break. And for what?
I was in love.
And at first sight. Send it to the movies. I'll use it for my next picture.
You felt the same way that I did, Irene.
Maybe I did. What of it? Even so, you never would have caught me giving up a break for a little heart murmur.
No, I guess you wouldn't.
You're darn right I wouldn't. That's why I'm where I am, and you're down there where you are. You're nobody, Eddie Scanlon, nobody. Just one of the millions of little people crawling over the earth. There are 2 kinds in this world, Eddie. The little people like you, and the big ones like me. And 3/4 of the little ones could be something if they knew when to take on their feelings and step on them hard.
Your shoes must have worn out fast.
Very funny.
And you're proud of what you've done, aren't you?
Yes, I'm proud. I'm proud of what I've done and what I am.
And proud of all the people that you stepped on hard. Do you ever think of them, Irene?
They make me think of them. Like you. Coming back now. I was through thinking of you when I told you to stay away. But your sister used to keep calling and calling me.
Yeah, but you got rid of her.
Yes, but you had to turn up. First night in ages, I felt I could sleep. Then I have to hear you and your rotten piano.
You're lucky it's only a piano. Supposing it was Del Dawson and his whole band.
Don't start throwing Del in my face.
Funny that he was the one to give you a break.
There was nothing funny about it. I saw to it that he did. All you got me was one little cellar joint after another.
It was experience, and I did get Dell to come in and hear you.
So what? Did I have to lay down my life for you because of that?
No, I'm not complaining, Irene. Dell's band was the next step up, and you took it.
Baby, baby,
is a man waiting to see you, Miss Benny.
Is it Mr. Sloan?
No, it's that Eddie Scanlon.
I told you I didn't want it. Oh, all right. Where is he?
In the bar, Miss Benny.
Thanks, Pierre.
Yes, Miss.
Well, Eddie.
Hi, Irene. Gee, you look wonderful.
Oh, it's the dress. How you been, Eddie?
Fine, fine. I just wanted to drop in and see how you were doing now that you're back in town. But, well, you know, I don't like to bother you.
Oh, Eddie, you shouldn't feel that way. You know I always have time for you. You're looking well. Anything doing?
Oh, you know, pretty much the same routine. A couple of arrangements here and a couple there. Say, Irene, I just turned out a honey of a vocal on that new tune from...
Oh, Eddie, I'd like to, but Dell does all my arrangements now.
Yeah, but this is something special. It's really sock. I did it just for you, Irene. It's your style. Nobody else
I
could
know,
do it.
Eddie, but Dell would just about hit the ceiling.
Yeah, I get it. I saw that item in the column yesterday about you and him.
Did you? Wasn't it swell? I got a press agent now. He got it in.
Isn't it true?
Oh, you know press agents, Eddie. Anything for a line in a column.
I heard Dell was pretty serious.
Well, I can't help that. I got my career to think about.
I know, baby.
Don't call me baby. It's so Broadway, Eddie.
I'm sorry, but I guess it is, only it never struck me that way.
Well, you ought to watch yourself. And for heaven's sake, watch the way you dress. That's suit.
Yeah, I meant to have it pressed, but you see, I had to see someone about a job.
Well, you never get one looking like that. And it doesn't look nice for me either. You coming here dressed like that, it's... Oh, skip it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
After all, a lot may happen for me. I may have some big news for you soon.
News? For me?
Now, don't say a word to anyone, but I think I'm going to get in a musical comedy. It's not definite, but I'm pretty sure.
Swell, swell, kid. You always wanted a musical.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I remember. Who's producing it?
Matty Sloan.
Sloan? I say, that's a real break.
Yeah, he comes in here almost every night. Only I don't know whether he likes me or my singing, but I'll make sure it's both.
Now, look, Irene, Matty Sloan...
What's the matter with him?
He's married, Irene.
Well, I have no intentions of marrying him.
I know, but Matty Sloan and his wife are... Honest, Irene, they're almost freaks in the theater. They're so happy.
So what?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I don't like it. First, I was making a sucker out of Dell Dawson. And now I'm busting up Matty Sloan's fireside. Suppose you try minding your own business for a change.
Irene, I was only thinking of you.
If you thought more about yourself and less about me, you'd be better off.
All right. Okay, baby, let's forget it.
Oh, Eddie. Eddie, I don't like being nasty and making rotten cracks, but...
It's okay, forget it.
You know I feel closer to you than anyone. I always will.
Sure, kid, I know.
But you just got to let me alone. Let me do things my way.
You sure, Irene?
See, Eddie, I tell you things and you get upset and say things that upset me, so maybe we...
Maybe we what?
Well, maybe it'd be better if you didn't see me.
I won't bother you, Irene. I promise. I won't say anything.
I know, Eddie, but I'm thinking of you. It'd be better for you. Honestly, it would. You'll do more work. Why, you'd write songs that... Well, don't you see, Eddie?
Yeah, I see.
You understand. It's for you.
Sure, I understand, kid. Don't worry about me.
Eddie, there's Matty Sloan now.
Huh?
Matty Sloan, see? Coming down the stairs.
Alone, isn't he?
Oh, Dell's gonna have six fits. But it's just too bad about him. I'm not going to be a second-rate girl vocalist for the rest of my life.
You better go over and see Sloan, huh?
Matty, I'm not running over to anyone. Let him send for me. He will.
Irene, there's one thing I wanted to tell you.
What?
It's about your singing.
See? Matty just signaled the waiter. He'll be coming over to call me.
Now look, when you take a high note, don't tilt your head so far back. Your chin looks too sharp, too hard.
My chin?
Yeah, you sound swell, but you got to worry about how you look, especially if you're going into a show. And your chin just stands out too strong. Now, keep it down. You hit the notes.
Yeah, I'll remember that, Eddie. I'll keep it down. Thanks a million for telling me.
Oh, it's nothing, but I guess it's the last time I'll see you, so I want to...
Excuse me, Miss Barrett. Mr. Sloan would like you to join him.
Oh, thanks, Pierre. I'll be right over.
Yes.
I'm afraid you'll have to excuse me.
Sure, kid. Now, take care of yourself, and if you ever need me...
I know, Eddie. Be good. I gotta run now. Goodbye. Seem to like pulling on the sob stuff.
No, that's what happened. You just don't like to remember.
Well, then stop bringing it up. I told you I wanted to forget all that, and I will. I won't think about it. I'll forget.
No, you won't.
Leave me alone, Eddie.
You'll keep thinking about it, and about me.
Eddie, go away.
And about Dell and Matty Sloan.
Stop bringing up Matty Sloan.
He wants you for his new show, doesn't he?
I won't listen. Go away.
Maybe if I go, Dell will turn up.
Stop it, Eddie. Stop it.
You wouldn't like to have Dell come back either, would you?
Suppose it's my fault he fell in love with me.
No, you walked out on him.
For a show. Any girl would have done the same thing.
But not the same way. You didn't have to twist him and turn him inside out. You didn't have to make him build his band around you and get him so crazy for you that when you walked out, he went to pieces and the band collapsed.
Dell knew I was leaving. He wasn't born yesterday.
You left him flat without any warning.
He was weak, like you. He didn't really need me any more than I needed him. But he was like you, little, small. So he went to pieces.
And Mattie?
I won't talk about Mattie.
Mattie made you a star.
He put me in the musical. I made myself a star.
Mattie worked with you to finish the job that I started. Gave you a polish, taught you what to wear and how to talk. He put you in the movies. Well, maybe not directly, but he's responsible.
I don't owe Mattie a thing. Or you either. Mattie taught me. You taught me. I did nothing, I suppose. Well, every break I got, I fought for. I did it all myself. Nobody else. Not Mattie and not you and not any of the others.
You don't even believe that yourself.
All right. You and Mattie did everything. That's why I'm where I am and you're where you are. You and Mattie. Why, I kicked both of you out the same night. Both of you. And that's one night I don't want to forget.
Oh, now, please, think it over, Renee.
We'll discuss it tomorrow, Mattie.
Well, why not tonight?
I'm busy.
Hollywood calling?
Yes. Do you mind?
Well, of course I do, Renee. I thought we'd go someplace together.
Mattie, you yourself said we shouldn't be seen together until your divorce is final. You shouldn't even be here in my dressing room.
As the producer of your show, I think that's permissible, Renee.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop calling me that. I don't know. Maybe men get some childish pleasure from labeling me with coy little pet names. My name happens to be Irene. And if you can't say that, Miss Barrett.
Forgive me, Miss Barrett?
Oh, Mattie, cut it.
I'd be willing to cut off my right arm if I could cut you out of my heart with the same stroke.
Look, Mattie, all this is getting us nowhere as fast. Let's be honest. We're sick of each other, so let's call it a day.
Well, when are you leaving the show?
What do you mean?
I'm quite sure you wouldn't throw me aside unless you had an offer to leave the show.
That's a nasty crack, Mattie.
You have another offer, though.
Yes, if you want to know, I do.
I hope you screen well.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I do very well.
And I hope the cameraman is married.
You are cheap.
No, I'm sorry, Irene. I apologize. I didn't mean to say things like that. Just came out. Forgive me.
I'm handing in my 2 weeks' notice.
Irene, will you... You can't do that to me.
You've cleared expenses, Mattie. You won't lose any money.
But the show was built around you, Irene. If you leave, we close. And about 100 people lose their jobs.
Oh, cut the dramatics, Mattie. I'm not that good. You can replace me.
But you signed a run-of-the-play contract.
Now, Mattie, you're not going to be small enough to hold me to that, are you?
Well, you have a funny way of putting things.
If you have any ideas along that line, just forget them. You haven't gotten your divorce yet, and I could make a nice little scandal.
Yeah, you might be small enough to do that.
Not small enough, Mattie. Big enough. Yeah, big enough. But that's something you wouldn't know about. Oh, I'm sick to death of you. You and all the rest like you, small and stupid. And don't tell me I'll regret this, Mattie. Don't tell me your day will come. Because you've seen your day, and people like you only get one chance. Good night, Mattie, and goodbye.
Good night, Miss Barrett.
Good night, Jimmy.
Matinee tomorrow.
Yes, I know. Good night.
Irene.
Eddie.
I finally got to see the show, Irene.
What do you want? Or have you decided to swallow your pride and take money from me? Well, here's $50. And next time, don't send back my checks because I don't want you hanging around the theater.
No, thanks, Irene. I don't need any money.
Just one look at you and I can see that's a lie. Don't be a fool. Take it. Be glad you're getting a hand.
No, no, honest.
Well, what do you want?
Well, I just wanted to see you, Irene.
Well, you saw me. Now what?
Nothing, I guess. No, nothing.
Then take the money and go away. I don't like social calls in a theater alley.
No, you hold on to it, Irene.
Still a sap, aren't you? All right, don't take it. But keep away from me. For heaven's sake, tell that sister of yours to stop telephoning. Do your own begging.
I didn't know she was calling you, Irene. Honest, I didn't.
Well, you know now.
Yeah, I'll speak to her. I'll tell her.
Then I don't think there's anything else to talk about.
No, I guess not.
Goodbye, Eddie.
Goodbye, Irene.
Do you know Miss Barrett?
I used to, Mr. Sloan, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, so did I. But that was a few minutes ago. Come on, let's have a beer. ¶¶
I couldn't help talking to you like that. Matty upset me.
He went busted right after you closed that show.
It wasn't my fault. He just kept picking duds after that. I'm not to blame.
He wants to do another musical now and make a comeback.
Matty Sloan's washed up for good.
Well, he brought you the script. He wants you in it, Irene.
I'm not returning to Broadway in a first-class turkey. Not me, yet.
It's not a bad script.
What's that got to do with it? Matty doesn't have a dime. A musical needs a big production. Where is he going to get one?
He could get the money if he had your name on a contract.
Well, he's not getting that. When I go back to the theater, it'll be for someone who has money. And plenty of it.
But Matty gave you your break, Irene.
Oh, shut up about Matty. I've heard enough about him and thought enough about him in the last few days to last me a lifetime. Every day, every night, he's bothering me about that show. He'll be here tonight, ringing the doorbell. I can tell it's Matty just by the sound of the ring. He's afraid to ring a bell. This gives it a weak little push and stands shaking on the doorstep.
Yeah, I know how he feels.
And then what does he say? Well, Irene, have you read the script yet? Think it over, Irene. Please, Irene. Please, Irene. Oh, I hate when they beg. Like your sister used to do for you.
I tried to get her to stop calling you.
Well, she kept on. For weeks. Miss Barrett, this is Eddie Scanlon's sister. Oh, please, Miss Barrett, please. Eddie's losing his office. Eddie's working at a cheap dive. Eddie's washing dishes. Eddie's this and Eddie's that. I got so I dreaded to pick up the phone and hear her voice. I couldn't stand it. So I changed my number. But she found it. Trust her. She got it somehow and called up again. Just once more. And that was the worst time of all. Miss Barrett, she said, this is Eddie Scanlon's sister. I won't be calling you anymore after this. But I thought you'd like to know that Eddie shot himself. Eddie shot himself. Well, that's what she said. Eddie shot himself. And you were there. In the death notices. In small black print. And now you've come back. You've come back to haunt me.
I'm no ghost, Irene. You know there's no such thing as a ghost.
No. No, you're worse than any ghost. You're something mean, terrible, that won't let me alone.
You've done that, Irene.
Go away.
You brought me back. I'm not here, and I'm not where I should be. I'm tight inside your mind because you can't forget.
No. Go away.
I can't. Not until you think of what you did without wanting to hide.
I'm afraid to think. You don't let me alone.
People who die the way I did, they can't rest, Irene. When you find peace, maybe then I will.
I can't, Eddie. I can't.
You think you can't.
I want to, but everything I've done, all the rottenness keeps coming back. And then I can't sleep. I can't think. I can't do anything.
You can, Irene.
No. No, it's not in me to change. I'm afraid of myself, and I don't know what to do.
Yes, you do, Irene. You know.
Eddie. Eddie. Matty's not a ghost. Matty's real, isn't he?
Matty's alive, Irene.
And he has a play?
He has a play, and he wants you for it.
I'm afraid.
You're afraid of your career.
No, no, Eddie. I'm afraid I'd want to sign, and then I'd see Matty and just turn on him. The way I turned on you.
You won't, Irene. You'll go through with it.
You'll help me, won't you, Eddie? Please.
Sure, sure, kid, I'll help you.
That's Matty.
You'll be all right now, Irene. You'll be nice to him?
Yes. Yes, I'll be nice. I will.
You'll sign the contract for him?
Yes, Eddie. Anything.
But, Irene, just that won't change everything all at once. You know that, don't you?
Yes, yes, I know. I've got to keep on. From now on, I've got to.
Now, if you slip backwards now, everything will come back again to make you despise yourself.
I know, Eddie, but I won't slip. I can't.
Then I think it's all right for me to go, Irene.
No, Eddie.
Matty's waiting.
Eddie, I need you. I always did.
You have to do this yourself.
I need your help. Please, Eddie, just a little while. Stay just a little while longer.
I can't, Irene.
I don't want you to go now. I want you here, Eddie.
I'll come back if you need me.
Eddie.
Goodbye, Irene.
Eddie. Eddie. Say it. Once more.
Goodbye, baby.
You have just heard Baby, a radio play written by Arthur Lawrence. The original music for this play was composed by Ernie Watson. The cast in tonight's performance included Marjorie Clark as Irene, Clinton Sundberg as Eddie, Curtis Cooksey as Matty, James Licurto, and G. Albert Smith. Baby was a presentation of the Listener's Playhouse and came to you over the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Social Error. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. Well, it is one morning along about 2 in the a.m. when I am sitting in the Hotbox Club talking of this and that with Miss Midgie Muldoon. Now, Midgie is not a crow by any means, although she is only knee-high to a Pomeranian, a short one. I never see a better-looking doll. And it is well known on the stand that more than several citizens would like nothing better than to hear Miss Midgie Muldoon speaking soft words to them. However, she has nothing to do with the various high shots. So while we are talking, she stops in the middle of a sentence and says,
"Oh, no. Here he comes again."
"Huh? Here who comes again?"
"Coming in the door. Jack Madigan."
"Oh, handsome Jack."
"Handsome Jack. No wonder he's so conceited. Couldn't you find a better name for him?"
"Well, you will have to admit that it fits."
"I can't stand him. Of all the people I can't stand, he's right on top."
"He sees you, Midgie."
"Please don't go away, Broadway, no matter what he says."
"Well, Midgie, handsome Jack is not a very good citizen to cross in any way."
"Don't leave me alone, please."
"What if he asks me to go? Not politely."
"I'll handle him. Only don't leave me alone with him."
So I stay because Midgie asked me to. But I know it is not going to be comfortable, because handsome Jack Madigan always strikes me as a guy who is rough. And I always figured the best you can get out of citizens like that is the worst of it. However, I sit tight. And it is because I do that I am in on the beginning of a very strange story indeed. One which I will tell you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Social Error.
Like I say, I sit tight, because Midgie Muldoon does not wish to be alone with handsome Jack Madigan. Well, it takes him maybe 2 seconds to come across the floor. He looks down and says,
"Hiya, Midgie."
"I was fine."
Broadway, how are things?"
"Oh, ups and downs, mostly down."
"Yeah. You got something to do, Broadway?"
"Not a thing, Jack. I am just whiling away the wee hours of the morning."
"Yeah, well, they are pretty wee by now, and you look tired. Maybe you better beat it and crawl in the kip."
"I am not sleeping."
"I think you are."
"No,
He's not going."
"You want him to stay?"
"Yeah, he's the only one I want to stay."
"Why do you keep giving me the brush, Midgie?"
"It's the only thing for dandruff."
"Look, there ain't nothing wrong with me."
"Nothing that not being yourself wouldn't cure."
"You got me wrong."
"Now, wait a minute. I've told you a dozen times I don't like you. I never will like you, so please don't hang around me. Don't send me flowers, candy, jewelry."
"I like to."
"All right, so you'll keep getting them back."
"Look, just talk to me for a while without giving me the knife, will you?"
"No." "Good night, Broadway, and thanks for your company."
"Yeah, so long, Midgie."
"Midgie."
"What?"
"I can maybe get you a cab."
"There are 30,000 cabs on the street. I can locate one of them."
"Like always, I am poison to her. And I am a 14-carat gold inlaid sap for making a play for her. There are a million dolls that would roll over and sit up if I give them a tumble."
"Well, Jack, do you ever think that maybe Miss Midgie Muldoon thinks that you think she is one of those dolls?"
"I can never figure dolls."
"Maybe you do like her, huh?"
"Yeah. Yeah, Broadway, maybe I do."
"But you are not the only one she puts the frost on. The pale-faced kid, Red Henry, Big Sam."
"Bums, two-bit characters. Ain't one two in it with me."
"I see."
"What do you see?"
"Maybe if you lay off being such a tough character for a while, she will think different."
"What are you giving me?"
"Well, she will have nothing to do with anybody who is not legitimate."
"That is why I say I can never figure dolls. I can never..."
"Nobody ever figures a doll, Jack. Hiya, Birdwing.
Well, well, Dave the Dude, sit down.
Hi.
What is your beef, Jack?
Never mind.
Okay, okay. Keep it to yourself.
We are just talking about Midgey Muldoon.
Ah. Face base is still a long way off, huh, Jack?
Oh, shut up. I'll see you later.
Just think of it. Handsome Jack Madigan souring up because of a doll.
Maybe he is on the level.
Jack? Like a corkscrew.
Look, Dave, I see a lot of guys. Tough guys, high shots.
So?
So? Each one of them has got a place inside where things can hurt.
Not Jack.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe. But until I see that guy do something for somebody, something that does not figure to put him on a winning end, I say he is not level. And I do not blame Midgey Muldoon for passing up a case of measles like that guy.
Well, somehow I figure that Dave the Dude is wrong about Jack. Because there is something in the way Jack looks at Midgey that makes me think, here is a guy who is well-lighted inside with what the poets call the old love light. He continues to be soft for her, and she continues to walk past him like he is someplace else. Then, it is about a week later in the Hotbox Club, which Dave the Dude owns. I am sitting with Dave and Jack when the scene is as follows.
Nice crowd tonight. Very nice.
Yeah, and it is certainly not the food that brings them in.
You ought to know better than to eat in here.
Well, I think maybe because you are a friend of mine. The sandwich will not be all rubber and wood.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah?
There is your friend again.
Huh? Oh, the McKyle dame. Huh. Every night she comes in.
She is not choicy about her dancing partners.
McKyle.
High society stuff.
Oh, yeah, Harriet McKyle. It seems to me I remember her getting into quite a few newspapers for one thing or another.
Yeah, one thing of another.
Dancing with Red Henry.
There is something I cannot understand. A doll with all the toy in the world, and she dances with tough guys. No offense, Dave, Jack.
She thinks it is smart, romantic. She goes back to her society friends and tells them she dances with a safe blower.
I think if I wish to dance with a safe blower, and I do not think that is likely, I will pick a nicer one than Red Henry.
Funny, ain't it? Here is this McKyle thing. She can take a pick of any society guy she wants, but she puts on the eye for guys like Red Henry.
So?
So, here is a guy like Handsome Jack. He goes for a kid like Midgey Muldoon, who will have nothing to do with hotshot citizens.
Let us leave me out of it, huh?
Sure, sure. But it is still very funny. And to make it even funnier, there is a guy named Basil Valentine.
That is a name or a greeting card?
He writes things for magazines. Now, he wants to be tough, but is as mild as they come. He goes for the McKyle dame who will have nothing to do with him. In fact, he never even meets her.
Everything is all twisted around.
Yeah, sure is.
That Basil Valentine just sits here every night looking at the McKyle dame.
Right now, she is looking at us.
Yeah. 10-1, she comes over.
You win your bet.
She is looking at you, Jack.
So she is looking at me. So what?
I see her look like that before. Jack, you are about to be romantic.
Nuts. She does not look like a million to me.
No, but she has a few.
Hold it.
Good evening, Dave.
Oh, how are you, Miss McKyle?
Just fine, thank you. I don't believe I've met this gentleman.
No, this is Handsome Jack Madigan. Jack, Miss McKyle.
How do you do?
Good.
This is Broadway.
How are you?
I am getting along.
I hope you don't think I'm intruding.
Not in that dress.
Oh, thank you.
Sit down, Miss McKyle.
Thank you.
Having a good time?
Oh, a little bored. May I have a cigarette, Mr. Madigan?
Help yourself.
Light?
Sure.
So, you're the famous, handsome Jack Madigan.
Yeah, real famous.
Look, I got some work to do. Enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, see you later, Dave.
Goodbye, Dave. Do you live near here, Mr. Broadway?
Not far, why?
I was just asking.
Why?
No reason in particular.
Where do you live, Miss McKyle?
Why don't you call me Harriet?
Okay, Harriet.
Why did you ask me where I live?
No reason in particular.
You're not very friendly, are you, Jack?
Sometimes I am very friendly.
Oh, I see. Oh, I do wish that man in the horn-rimmed glasses would stop staring at me.
Which one?
That one by himself at the table.
Oh, him, Basil Valentine.
Every place I go, there he is. He annoys me.
Is that possible, Miss McGill?
What do you mean?
Nothing at all, nothing at all.
I'm going to speak to Dave about that Valentine person. Perhaps you'd do me a favor, Jack.
Like what?
I don't like that man staring at me.
Oh?
Do you think it's funny?
Sure, because if you think I am going over there and talk to Bad Basil, you are crazy.
Talk to who?
Bad Basil Valentine.
Bad Basil?
Sure, why, he will kill anyone quicker than you can say scat.
That harmless-looking man.
Miss McKyle, Bad Basil can scarcely sleep good any night he does not kill some guy.
Jack, what are you saying?
It is all right, Broadway. Miss McKyle here is a friend. We can talk about Bad Basil.
But he seems so gentle-looking.
Miss McKyle, I once know a hood who is so gentle-looking that the people mistake him for a spaniel, but he ends up in the chair at Sing Sing.
Miss McKyle, you asked me a minute ago where I live. I am now going there. Good night.
Oh, no. I'll go.
Maybe you would like to meet Bad Basil, huh?
Well, yes, but later. Good night.
Good night.
Jack, the sandwich you eat is not that bad.
What is the matter? I fix it up for the guy, do I not? Who knows what will happen now?
You are so right. Who knows what will happen? Well, Jake thinks it is very funny that he tells Miss Harriet McKyle that Basil Valentine is a hotshot. Never does he imagine how this is going to affect him and Miss Midgie Muldoon. But it does, and in a very strange way. And how this happens starts one night in Mindy's when I am sitting there, and Dave the Dude comes over to me and says,
I have been looking for you, Broadway.
Well, here I am. What is on your mind, Dave?
What are you doing night after tomorrow?
If all goes well, I will still be breathing and maybe sitting right here. Why?
Want to go to a party?
Nope.
I ask you to.
I will be glad to.
Good. Miss Harriet McKyle is throwing one.
Harriet McKyle? Now, wait a minute, Dave. I belong there like I belong in the White House.
A lot of your friends will be there. Red Henry, Harry the Horse, Mitzi, the pale-faced kid.
What? Some of those citizens are so hot, it might be a farewell party before they leave on paid vacations at various institutions.
I know, but she thinks it is pretty cute to line up boys like that. It gives her something to talk about.
Look, Dave, I would like to do you a favor and be there, but
she is a good customer, and I would not like her to feel that my friends do not appreciate her hospitality.
What time do I get there?
Anytime. Oh, by the way, where is Basil Valentine?
What? I do not know. Why?
She wants him especially.
Huh?
This I cannot figure. She'll be up to her ears in rough citizens, so why does she want him?
I think I know. Dave, this is going to be a very strange party indeed. And how right I am, even I do not know at the time I say it. Furthermore, I do not wish to be at that party, but Dave is a very good friend of mine, and I like to do him favors. Especially since he is likely to resent it if I refuse. So, I go. And what happens there, I will tell you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Social Error.
Like I say, I do not wish to offend Dave the Dude, so I show up at Miss Harriet McKyle's party. So do quite a few other citizens who are not in who's who, but know what's what, especially if it is crooked. I am very surprised to see Miss Midgie Muldoon there. So I ask her why she comes, and she says as follows.
Dave asked me to come, Broadway.
I always think you never associate with hotshots, Midgie.
I don't, but Billy, Dave's wife, is a friend of mine. I couldn't say no.
Yeah. I guess you know Jack is going to be here?
Well, what if he is?
Oh, I just ask.
Is he Miss McKyle's latest?
Well, not exactly.
I think he might like her.
If you will look at her now, you will see that she is more than somewhat interested in Bad Basil.
Who?
Bed Basil. Basil Valentine.
Oh, you're kidding. That's the man who always hangs around Dave's place.
Yeah, but now he is Bed Basil.
I don't understand.
Well, it is like this.
Hello, what? Broadway. Midgey.
Hello, Jack.
Excuse me, Broadway.
Oh, wait a second, Midgey.
No.
Look, why do you not give me a break?
Why don't you ask Miss McKyle for one?
I am asking you.
Don't.
I do not mind you brushing me, but do not laugh.
It's very funny. Handsome Jack Madigan letting Basil Valentine beat his time.
The joke is on you, Midgey. As a matter of fact, I fix it up. I tell the McKyle doll that Basil is a number one tough citizen. She believes me, and then I...
You what?
Sure. I give the guy a break.
Well, aren't you the big humorist? Anything for a laugh.
Oh, no way.
That poor little guy thinks he's going big. What'll happen to him when she finds out?
Why should you be worried?
Because I think it's a miserable trick.
Oh, it is a gag.
And sooner or later, she'll find out what he really is. Then the two of you can have a big laugh at him.
Oh, look, Midgey, I did not mean for this to spread so thick. How do I know the dame is going to swallow
it? Yeah, but she did. Now I'll tell you something. At first, I couldn't stand the sight of you. Then I thought, well, maybe you might be on the level. But this puts me right back where I was.
With that, Midgey walks away, and Jack looks after her like a dog that is lost. I know now that he is really level. Also, I know that he tips Basil to the gang, and this makes Basil happy because he figures the McKyle doll will now fall for it. The next thing I know, I hear Basil telling her how he knocks off 10 hoods one weekend while he is on a pleasure trip, and I see she is looking at him with some respect. But in the meantime, Jack is doing nothing but mooning around. Then, along about 2 a.m., I am standing with Jack, and the scene is as follows.
Everybody has a good time but me.
Jack, I wish to ask you something, and I wish to hear the truth.
What?
You are really serious about Midgey?
Yeah, I am. Broadway, I gotta do something to show her I ain't too bad. I just...
Jack! Hey, Jack. I have been looking for you.
Okay, Red Henry, here I am.
Look, I'm doing all right with the McKyle dame. Will you stick your nose in?
Go away. You get too much in the last glass.
I'm telling you, I was doing all right. I hear about that gag with the Valentine character.
I tell you, go away.
You never do like me, so you do this to queer me.
You are right. I never do like you. Happy?
But I'm going to tip the McKyle doll. See?
Why do you not go away and clean up?
I'm going to fix it all up.
Look, Red, leave the little guy have his fun. He is nuts about the dame. What do you care?
I was doing all right. I don't like your nose sticking in.
Go away. Get lost. Take a trip.
You were sore because you cannot get the doll you want, so you queered for me.
Shut up, Red.
You were heated up for Midgey Muldoon, but you get the frost.
Cut it out.
Handsome Jack Madigan sitting on the back porch and the door's locked.
Red, you and I will take a little walk, huh? There is a terrace. I bet you've never seen New York from this high up, huh?
Shut up, Broadway. He knows I am right. How does it feel to be chilled off, Jack?
I will show you.
Jack, look out! He's pulling a rod!
Get back, Broadway!
Jack, are you crazy?
He would have drilled me.
Shut the door, somebody!
You shot him, you fool! You shot him!
He is all right. I hit him in the hand.
Jack, look, maybe you better go. I will take care of this. Red, are you all right?
In my hand, that is all.
There'll be a terrible scandal.
There will not. Listen, everybody, quiet!
What happens here goes no farther. Get it? Broadway.
Yeah, Dave.
Get to the phone. Call for my car.
Sure.
You better beat it, Jack.
Oh, look, Dave, I gotta explain.
Handsome Jack Madigan, parlor tough guy.
Midgey, I...
I wonder what else you'll think up to impress people.
Well, the little affair is hushed up because none of the citizens there wish to answer questions, especially if they are asked by gender. And Miss Harriet McKyle is glad to listen to Dave the Dude because she does not wish the publicity. Red Henry is hustled away, and it turns out the shot in the hand is nothing at all because Jack is pretty fair with the rod and just shoots the pistola out of Red's hand. However, he figures he is all washed up with Miss Midgey Muldoon. Then it is one night, and I, Dave, and Jack are sitting in Mindy's when who comes up but Basil Valentine and says...
I'm very sorry to intrude, but I must speak to you.
You? Look, you caused me enough trouble.
I'm terribly sorry, but I've got to talk to you.
Ah, let him sit down, Jack.
Thanks.
How is Bad Basil?
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
Basil, do you not tell Miss Harriet McKyle the truth?
No, I've let her go on believing I'm what you told her I was.
So what happens when she finds out the truth?
I asked her to marry me, and she said she would.
What? You are kidding.
Oh, I hear everything. But she wants me to correct something before we go away to be married.
Correct something? What?
Well, she says that Jack committed a social error when he shot Red Henry the other night. Jack, you've got to let me do something about it. If you don't, I'll lose her.
Okay, I will go to her and say you made me apologize.
But that's not enough. I have to strike you or something.
Okay, strike me.
But in front of her.
Basil.
What, Dave?
You go back and tell that dame the truth.
I can't. Dave, Jack Broadway, I love her.
That much, huh?
Yeah.
You will get over it.
No. Wait a minute, Dave. Basil.
Yes?
How would you like to shoot me?
Jack, shoot you?
Yeah. Say in Dave's place, night after tomorrow.
I am not interested in making a shooting gallery out of the hot box.
I got an idea. Listen, nobody gets hurt. You bring the doll to the hot box. Dave, close up the place to outside customers early.
What are you getting at?
Basil comes in with the McKyle doll, sees me, pulls a rod, lets me have it.
Oh, no. I might hit you.
Not with blanks in the gun.
You really do this for me?
Sure. Why not?
I'll never forget it, Jack.
Go on now. Beat it. Go on, get yourself a gun. With blanks.
Right away, Jack. Right away.
Well, how do you like this?
What gets into you, Jack?
Well, maybe I know just how the little guy feels.
At first, Dave is more than somewhat concerned about the whole thing, but then he begins to get a kick out of it. It seems that Jack will fall down like he is hit, Basil will leave with Miss Harriet McKyle, and everything will be fine. But as they say in books, quite a few things are liable to go wrong, and often do. Now, I and Dave tell nobody about this arrangement, and it comes up two nights later that we are in the hot box. The only citizens there are those we know, and this includes Miss Midgie Muldoon. I and Jack and Dave are waiting, and the scene is as follows.
Now, you are sure everything is all right, Jack?
Sure. I get in touch with Basil this morning. He is bringing the dame here. I am standing here with my back to the door.
You know, something tells me I would not trust that little guy with a dud firecracker, much less a Roscoe.
Stop worrying, will you?
Okay, get ready, Jack. Here they come.
If it is all the same to you, I will step back out of the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here he comes.
The muzzle of the gun he is holding is going in circles.
Madigan!
Yeah?
Turn around. I do not want to shoot you in the back.
Oh, hey, do not shoot me, Bad Basil.
You've made your last social error.
Oh, look, give me a break, Bad Basil.
Now you're going to get it.
Jack, look out. Look out, Jack.
Midgie, get back. You...
Jack, please. Oh, Jack. Jack, I...
Midgie. Oh, you spoiled the whole thing. Midgie.
That is no bank. She is hit.
Midgie.
Jack, I was going to shoot you.
You stepped in front of me, Midgie.
Dave, she is hit.
Is she dead? Please, is she dead?
What happened? This gun...
Let me see that. Where did you get this?
Well, I didn't have a gun. I borrowed this one from Red Henry.
Red Henry!
Midgie, baby.
Well, Red loaded it with blanks. I saw him. He thought it was a big joke. He was going to help me.
He pulled the switch. Now, look. You get out of here. Go on.
But the girl...
We'll take care of that. And you, Miss McKyle. Maybe now you got enough of being cute.
I didn't think he'd do it.
But he did. Now get out. And if you ever come in this place again, I will patiently escort you through the door and the end of my foot.
But I...
Beat it.
We better go, Harriet. And I've got something to tell you.
Midgie, we have got to get you to a hospital.
I'll be all right. Jack, you're not hurt.
You stepped in front of me. Why, Midgie? Why?
I held out as long as I could. Jack.
Well, Midgie is only hit in the shoulder, and turns out okay. And Dave fixes it so everything is smoothed over. Of course, no one is more surprised than Jack when he finds out that Midgey is in love with him. However, that is not the end of the story. The payoff comes later. And what it is, I will tell you in a minute. It is a month after a little party at the Hot Box that I am sitting in Mindy's enjoying some marinated herring when I am joined by Dave the Dude, who sits down and watches me for a minute and then says...
Nice sweating, eh?
What? Oh, Jack and Midgey's. Yeah, it is very nice. They make a fine couple.
Well, he's a good boy. She talks him into going legitimate.
Well, he is in love. We have got to make allowances for that. It is very funny that we do not hear from Basil Valentine on the Mikhail day.
Oh, I almost forgot. They get married, too.
She marries him? But she finds out about the whole thing, and he is far from being a tough citizen.
She is so relieved to find out that Basil is not tough and is not apt to go around shooting people that she marries him. However, she takes no chances.
Like what?
It seems she will not allow him to associate with anybody over 10 years of age. And she will not allow him to hold anything more dangerous than a niblick.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Social Error. Listen in again next week for... The Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the story is adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed our selections this week. If you want to find more from the Damon Runyon Theater, Listener's Playhouse, past episodes of this podcast and all the others, just visit relicradio.com. It's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream. If you enjoy this and all the shows and would like to help support it all, a donate button. Click on that, you'll find some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. And my thanks, as always, to those who have donated. And thanks for joining me today. Talk again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.